Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
All right, we got the Knicks and the Celtics right so here on 98.7. Knicks and the Celtics tonight. So that's a big game. They play the Celtics twice within 7 days. They play tonight, and then they play Sunday night on ESPN. Tonight and Sunday.
When?
So, could be a good test, these four games. Got Miami in there, and you got the Brooklyn Nets. Brooklyn Nets struggling since they traded Durant. Why does it make me so happy, though, that the Mavericks are struggling?
I don't know why.
Is it a character flaw?
No, it's you. But I think a lot of people feel the same way.
Well, I mean, he helped ruin something that could have been great for New York, so I hope that he's on a losing team.
Specifically the Yes Network, who you care for deeply.
Yeah, I mean, that's not good for us. You think it was good for the Yes Network that they did down by 50 on Friday? Was that good?
No, probably not.
How has it affected the ratings?
I will check it out.
I wonder if there's enough of a sample. I guess there is. They've played, what, at least 8?
Well, I had read somewhere that the games since the trade have had higher ratings than when they were there.
Hmm.
Maybe, but out of curiosity, train wreck, you know, slow down at an accident. I don't know.
I mean, it was a train wreck before.
True.
It was a better-looking train wreck, that's all.
I just got great news, Peter.
Really?
Great news. This falls under the heading of not good, great.
Go ahead.
Daily Don, 445.
Wow, that is big. You're not kidding.
No, I'm not.
Got a great suggestion from Peter, but you can't use it because Peter suggested it, so you'd have the heads up. But
the thing is, I can't even think of any in that category.
It'd be too hard. What Peter suggested is on greatest sports moments that really didn't count, because if you watched Joel Embiid with that 70-foot shot, that was unbelievable.
Guys, where would that have ranked for all-time regular season finishes?
Yeah, it had to be right there. I mean, how many game-winning shots have happened in the NBA from that distance? All right, so game-tying shots of that kind of significance late in the game, number one. It'd be on national television against two of the best teams in the NBA. You're probably talking about a handful of times. But I got to tell you, see if you follow me, Peter. The only way it really would have held up as great, the Sixers would then have to win the game.
Right.
We know how you feel about that.
And we don't know if they would have. I mean, who knows? Tatum did not play great, but he played great down the stretch. But that would be a gut punch, right? I mean, I really felt bad for the people in the building. Like, they were ready to celebrate.
It's funny because my son and I were watching it, and just the exhilaration. I mean, both of us jumped up out of our seats, and we were like hugging each other. I don't have a dog in the fight. It was so exciting. But then Charlie added context. I don't know if that counted.
Yeah.
And it turned out not counting.
And you're cool with Charlie's the good release and not motion of the shot?
What do you mean?
Well, meaning like you could change that and say that it still counts because before the clock zeroed out, he was in the motion of taking a shot.
No, it's got to be off your hand.
No, I'm with you, but it just if that rule existed, then it would have counted, and we would have went to overtime. Great call by Breen. That's such a good broadcast. Seriously, honestly,
it really is. Breen's so good.
No, they have a nice. I'll say that, you know, like we always laud TNT's NBA work, but we got to say our ESPN coverage, the Saturday night regular season games, they do a good job making it feel like something.
And well, I mean, the TNT dominance is in the pre and the
post
halftime,
yes.
But the game.
Although I do enjoy their
ESPN's
in-game as well.
Is far superior, and I love Brian Anderson and Wow. Kevin Harlan, but I'm sorry, Breen's the best.
Now, and you're totally unbiased on that, by the way. There's no one I'd go to first.
Well, I'm sorry. I love the guy. What do you want me to do?
I think they might be the best team right now in sports. If you took Breen by himself and added two other people, Breen's still great. He's a Hall of Famer. I wonder if you'd get the same from Mark and Jeff if it was somebody else. I think there are some of their parts when it comes to Mark and Jeff. Breen, I think, could stand alone. You could put him with anybody. It wouldn't be as great because they're such a great team, but they would march on. But I just wonder, Peter, if you dropped in another play-by-play guy, would we still have that same feel about Mark and Jeff? Because I think Mike really brings the best out of those two.
I think that they would probably lose their gigs without Mike. I think Mike holds it all together. I'm kidding, Mark. I know Mark watches the show. But, I mean, the sum of the parts is greater than the parts. Let's put it that way. Although Breen is in the Hall of Fame. You know, I've been talking about the Fordham game. Fordham's legitimately having a great year. But I do want to give love to another local team.
Yes.
Rutgers, in the second half yesterday, came back from 19 down against Penn State to win a much-needed game. And probably that win might have punched their ticket to an at-large bid in the NCAA, where they don't have to win the tournament, so the conference tournament. So congratulations to Rutgers. That was an unbelievable comeback. 19 points down to beat Penn State. So
it was something.
Congrats.
It's a lot of good. You're right, basketball, man, the comebacks, right? The Lakers with their huge comeback against Dallas, although there's a lot more available points in the NBA than there is in college.
It's not I don't want to be controversial here, but
here we go.
I don't think the three-point shot has been good for basketball. I think it's ruined the beauty of the game. It's just guys chucking up threes all the time. And that's why a 15-point lead is no big deal. It's five shots.
Well, listen, am I happy for Dame Lillard, what he did?
71 points.
Insane. 41 in the first?
71 points. But I got to tell you, there isn't much defense going on. For you to be able to go out there and score that many points, and most of it's just him hoisting threes all over the place.
I mean, I think we can all admit, and Dame's incredible, I think we all would agree, though, these huge point totals don't hit the same way it did even when Kobe went for 81.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right.
They
it's
just
a different
don't hit
game.
The
first, there's no defense, and all of this is transition three-point play.
I got to send you guys a picture. There was an incident getting on the train on a Friday to go to Washington. The family took me to the train.
Oh.
It was like it was old timey, you know. They're waving through the glass and everything. Well, that Dame Lillard doll that I left over at the live event,
and Peter
brought
it
back. Yep. I gave to Marco, and Marco just he has it with him constantly.
He's obsessed.
So we're walking to the train, and he asked me to put it in my pocket. Well, guess what? It went with me to Washington.
Oh.
And he was devastated. So I'm going to send you guys a picture. Maybe I'll tweet it out of me in Washington before calling the game, just to show him that I still had it and it was okay. And that picture got him through the weekend.
Now, you're a big Portland fan.
That's
what's
right.
The reason behind?
Well, I'll never.
Yeah, please.
Interesting.
I'll never.
Interesting. All right. So we got a little bit of a taste of the new rules, not Bill Maher's new rules, the new rules in baseball. And I'll tell you, I was ecstatic yesterday. The Yankees Braves game was 2 hours and 16 minutes. So there was a site on Twitter that said last year spring training games averaged 3 hours and 1 minute. This year so far, early going, I mean, spring training started on Friday in Arizona, Saturday in Florida, it's been 2 hours and 39 minutes. Mm. So that's shaving 22 minutes right there. In the minor leagues, it shaved 25 minutes off the total of the game. So I think that's going to be good for the game. And I also believe, now the Yankees had a split squad game too in Dunedin. That game was 3 hours and 5 minutes. But the game that we had on, 2 hours and 16. And there was not a violation during the Yankee-Braves game. Not one. Not even close. Not even close. I think these are going to work. For those that called in on Friday, they're ruining this great game. No, it's just getting it back to what it should be, where there's a quicker pace. Forget about the length of the game. That's your cross to bear. Although I believe that more people will be apt to take kids to night games if they're 2.5 hours and not 3.5 hours.
I totally agree.
It's about people going to work and people going to school. It's just it's much more manageable. I think it's also going to be great for television. It really is. People are going to stay engaged more. So the pitch clock, I think it's going to benefit the pitchers more than the hitters. I really do. And Max Scherzer, you know, he spoke yesterday about how he's going to take advantage of it. And I've mentioned this too. If a pitcher is ready to throw and the batter has to be in the box with 8 seconds to go, you just hold that ball before you go into your windup for 7 seconds. And that batter is going to become anxious. You are dictating the pace. You could throw it right away at 8 seconds, or you could throw it with 1 second left. Great pitchers, veteran pitchers, are going to take advantage of it. This will not hurt the game. I saw at least 2 hits yesterday that would have been outs with a shift. I don't know. I'd like anybody out there to tell me how this is going to hurt the game. It makes the game more like 1950s, 1960s, and 1970s right. baseball.
Oh, listen, if you're going to make it that short, how can it not be ultimately loved by everyone? Here's where you're going to get in trouble is like what happened in the one game, you know, bases loaded, 2 outs, 6-6 tie, and you're calling a strikeout, which in the spring ended the game in the ninth inning because not going to play extra innings. So let's say that's 6-5, bases loaded, 2 outs in a regular season game, and the Mets or Yankees lose because of a called strike 3 because of the clock infraction. People are going to be up in arms. You got to let it go. It's the end of the game. Are you telling me? Yeah, that's what you're going to get. I mean, if they're going to complain about ticky-tack fouls in hockey and basketball at the end of important games, you don't think they're going to complain about a clock violation in the ninth inning that costs the team a game?
No, I guess they will, but it's easy. Follow the rules.
No, I get that, but people are still going to complain. And here's a little nitpick, though. A little nitpick as far as, like, late in the game.
Okay.
Do you appreciate, though, as a baseball fan, the drama of the mano-a-mano matchup staring down on that last pitch rather than, like, hurrying up and do it? Like, aren't there certain classic moments where you kind of just – you do enjoy the delay?
I think we've been bred to think that, but there could still be drama without – there's actually a video going around on social media. I think it's great. There was a matchup in the World Series when the Cubs were in the World Series and David Ross was at the plate. And the amount of time it took with Ross's at bat, they inserted in the video Jose Altuve hitting an inside the park home run. And between pitches, it took 5 trips around the bases by Altuve to have the next pitch delivered. That's not good for the game. Now, remember, we had Linda call in on Friday. She was very upset that it wasn't good for the game. She changed her tune a little bit. She just tweeted out, okay, so I was wrong. The games over the weekend were not ruined by the new rules, but no more changes, please. A bunch of exclamation points. Okay. Well, Linda, I think we all fight change, but sometimes change is good.
You got to evolve. Don't look at it as change. Look at it as evolution.
Oh,
seriously, times change. Things change. You got to allow things to evolve. As much as we love football and baseball, basketball, and hockey, if you look at games from 50 years ago, it's like a different sport, and the changes have been right. It's made the game more exciting. Now, some things you're not going to totally be on board with. That's the way life goes. But do you want to live in a world, guys, where we're exactly the same in 2023 as we were in 1943? No, you want to evolve. So look at it that way. It's not change for change's sake, guys. It was necessary to make these changes.
Now, I do have one strong feeling, though.
Okay.
I've seen different looks of how the pitch clock has been displayed on TV.
Mm-hmm.
The first one I saw was it was on sort of the backstop.
Right.
And it was on the entire time, 15, 14, 13. I found that to be unpleasant and like frenetic. I then saw it done differently other places, but I think the perfect place they eventually settle into is a way where the way it plays on TV is sort of like the 24-second clock in the NBA. It's not what you're thinking about every second you're watching the game. It just pops up.
I'll tell you what we're going to do on Yes. Okay? So when the games are regular season and you're in the big ballparks, you will not see those clocks from the center field camera. The ones behind the plate that they want the pitchers to see and the batter and the fielders.
Okay.
Those will be out of view of the center field camera. So what we're going to do at Yes, and I think what most people are going to do, there's going to be a small 15-second clock in the bug where you see the, you know, the score. The score.
Yeah.
It will not be obtrusive if you choose to look at it. Maybe it'll light up at 8 seconds. Right now, we're not doing that because the technology that Major League Baseball is making available not quite where they want it to be, but it will be by opening day when the Yankees play the Giants. So you will not see the pitch clocks at all in the center field camera shot, but it will be on the bug. So I don't think it's going to be something that will take up your eye space.
I think that's what you want. I think because the 24-second clock's a really important part of the game, but you only think about it when it gets to being under 5 seconds.
So right. Show it then.
Exactly. So I don't mind seeing it when it's at five. But even then, the way they had it on the backstop was just so pronounced.
But these can get worked out.
Yeah.
I think the rule works, how it's implemented as far as how they show it on television and all that. But, you know, Max Scherzer was great. You know, he talked over the weekend just that, hey, he does that anyway. Like, he wasn't even paying attention. Then he noticed the clock, and then he kind of thought about it. But he was always a guy that likes to get the ball, fire it right away. So once everybody starts to do it, it should almost like the netting just disappear and not even become an issue in your eyes because everybody's just following the rules.
One thing I think is going to have to change, though. I mean, Boone actually said the game moves a lot faster in the dugout. So I think you're going to run into problems in big moments when the manager has to give a sign to the third base coach, and then the third base coach has to give a sign to the player. So think about that. A player has to be in the box, eyes on the pitcher, with 8 seconds remaining on the 15-second or 20-second clock. How are they going to have from the dugout to the third base coach to the batter in 7 seconds or in 13 seconds with a runner on base? It's going to be very, very difficult. And so we see that pitchers are going to be wearing PitchCom now. Max Scherzer had it on his glove, so he was calling the game to Narvaez. So he was actually calling the game, and that sped things up even more. Now, some rookie pitchers or younger pitchers don't want to call the game. They want the catcher to call the game. I think that sooner rather than later, I don't think it's in the cards this year, and it might be if we see a lot of violations, you are going to see audio transferring of signs where a batter is going to be wearing an earpiece. And it's going to be delivered from the bench, hit and run, bunt, whatever the case may be. Because Dusty Baker brought this up, Don. Teams are paranoid about stealing signs or signs being stolen. And the reason that there are so many signs to give is that there are a lot of dummy signs so that the other team can't pick it up. Well, because of 8 seconds limit to give the signs and then get it, they can't do dummy signs.
But they're usually more concerned about stealing signs from the pitcher than stealing signs on what the batter's going to do.
Oh, no. They want to see if there's a hit and run on because that changes the way.
They are always
looking at the third base coach.
But you can get, as you're walking to the plate, you can get your sign, at least for the first pitch.
Yeah, and but then, it's still 7 seconds, bud.
I know, but you step out. But as you're going to the plate, you can receive the sign before you step in. And then you can – listen, it's going to be a sense of urgency to it. But remember, if it's – you'll have less dummy signs, but it'll also be harder to steal because it's going to be so quick.
I think Joel Sherman hinted in a column he wrote about Buck Showalter that Showalter has always said sometimes we think we're above – you know, what happens in college and happens in high school. He said, but they might have a better idea of how to do it. And a lot of college teams, if you watch, hold up signs. They hold up signs. He said, and Joel hinted that the Mets might do that too.
Yeah.
Buck said, I'm not going to do anything until the games begin. But they could have two people hold up signs. One's a dummy sign and one's the actual sign.
Well, you see that in college football. They'll hold up a picture of New Edition, right? Silly. And it means that now, obviously, that could be easier to steal. But if you have a really elaborate, like what they can all mean, a banana, what color's the banana, all that – they'll figure it out, Michael. And you've got a month before the season starts here, a little over a month. So this is what spring training is for. Usually it's just for the pitchers and the catchers and all the hitters and everything. It's going to be for the umpires, for the coaches, for the bench coaches, base coaches to kind of figure this all out too.
Now, we had Boone on in the fifth inning. We always do that during spring training. He brought something up that I had not considered. He said, if you shave 25 minutes off a game,
mm-hmm.
and he said, I know this doesn't sound like a lot to the average layman, but to have players be off their feet for 25 fewer minutes than they do each and every night, that's going to change load management. It's going to change having to be rested and things like that. He said, that is a big, big deal. I never thought of it that way.
Well,
because you see him blow out games, Don. They'll take a guy out for half an inning and say that that is actually a benefit. So if all of a sudden games are 2.5 hours rather than 3.5 hours, that's a big deal.
But if I remember correctly, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I remember feeling this at the time. We thought that everybody would play all 60 games during the COVID season, and that didn't happen.
Right.
So they'll still be load management, but there'll probably be a lot less of it. Hey, listen, I love baseball, Michael, but anything, like even movie, like related to movies, right? You got to be a really good movie to go over 3 hours long. You better be up for an Academy Award if you're going to make me sit there for 3 hours and 25 minutes to watch a movie. Well, I'm sorry, not every baseball game can be award winning, and they were going way over 3 hours almost every single night. Everybody wants to see things condensed. And if you're going to give me three, you're going to give me 225 guys, that's going to be a complete game changer.
It's a game changer for weeknight games, for sure.
Max Scherzer was on SMY with Steve Gelbs during the game yesterday, and he was asked about pitchers having an advantage with the clock.
I mean, we've been game planning this for basically a year now. We know it's coming. Doesn't take a lot to know that when you hold the ball, it really messes up the runner and the hitter. So the pitcher has complete control of the situation and dictates the pace now. So, you know, with the ability to also call pitches as well, I can either work extremely quick or extremely slow and really change the pace of this.
You really have the ball. The game doesn't start until the pitcher decides to throw the ball. He has all the power. And now there's a clock to give him even more power. And a lot of people have told me this from the time that these rules were actually broached. The pitchers are not going to be as affected as the hitters. So we shall see.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy. Hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
How was Blondie's on Friday?
Oh, let me tell you something. They have not lost their touch with that wing. I mean, that is a tasty, tasty wing. I had a couple of margaritas. Delightful.
Oh, look at you!
It's Friday night, baby. Had some wang. Rocky was there in the cut. Saw some nice people. Watched the first half of the Knickerbocker game. It was a great time.
Love it.
And, I love Blondie's. It just I love in New York. Whenever you can go to a place in New York that actually feels in 2023 still sort of local to a neighborhood, yeah. I'm happy. And Blondie's still has that vibe. It's like a fun place where locals go to hang.
I spent so much of my adult life there. It's almost shameful.
How often? Let's be real. How
often? I started going there when they were on 77th and Broadway.
Mm.
They were much smaller then, so I'd say for a period of about 10 to 12 years, you could see me appearing nightly.
Not nightly.
Yeah, whenever I wasn't on the road with the Yankees, nightly.
So, but you're not a big drinker.
Oh, I know. I didn't drink much.
So what would you do?
What would I do, Don?
Scout. I mean, did you just think he put together a rotation just on luck? I mean, he scouted.
Don, isn't that sort of like the biggest kind of creeper?
No, why? No. It
was in a
social fun sense. Don't dirty this up. I'm just saying he was a single guy out in a bar. What are you supposed to do? Alcohol is lubrication for you to be able to go out there and mingle and talk and be relaxed. And there was a time in Michael's life where he was not settled down. And he enjoyed the company of very intelligent, attractive women.
And a strong rotation of them.
A very strong rotation that was all just by his personality and how he was fun to be with. Now, what I want to know from Michael
is... See, what Don's saying, without being nasty, is Mike's not that good-looking, so it was all personal.
Because what I'm doing is I'm complimenting women, is that I don't think women hold attractiveness as high as men do. Like, if you've got a nice personality, you make them laugh, you're a good conversationalist, you're a good person, goes, I think, a lot further than you being just attractive. And I don't think these women that you spent time with were superficial in that way.
No, of course
not. I got to meet a lot of these women, Peter.
Right.
But what I always wanted to know, because this gets lost in the shuffle, I don't think I'm speaking out of school here, and if I am, you have the dump button. When did you graduate to Peters?
When I got a little older.
Okay.
Yeah. When I got a little older.
I went to Peters with Michael.
A dress shop.
It's not there anymore?
No.
Okay.
I wept for weeks.
Because you never got to appreciate this. I got to work a significant amount of time with single Michael.
Okay. Yeah, that
was so much more fun than I am now, Peter.
It was a completely different experience. Completely different.
Honestly, it was literally every day different.
Yeah, he was a different person. He's more he's more grounded now.
Yeah.
But single Michael?
Oh, yeah.
F-U-N.
Big emphasis on the F. Keep going.
Michael, why is he trying to filthy this thing up? I've never been more complimentary of you. I really think that you should be very proud. That was a really nice time.
It was a good time in life.
And then you graduated. You moved on. You matured. And then you settled down at the perfect time. Perfect time.
Yeah.
I mean, there wasn't anything left in your system.
Oh, there was a lot left. Sure was. It got me into trouble, though.
Well, that's the point, Michael, is that you knew just when to get off the train. There's always a few more stops down the road for everybody. It's about knowing when to get off the train.
Buck Showalter, the Mets were on ESPN. For their spring training game.
Sure. Are they still scoring runs there? It was 11-5 last I saw.
And he was asked by the guys, what are the players talking about the changes?
The tempo and the rhythm of the game is a little different. We thought about, Eric Chavez and I were talking about letting them watch a game from 1978. I think we were talking about it earlier. Just something that makes them realize that, you know, the tempo is going to change. And there's a lot of questions. You know, in the front office, and MLB is doing a great job of answering those questions. They're very available, and believe me, there's a lot of questions about it. It's just, you know, like players, they just want to know what's coming.
Right.
They don't want to get surprised by anything.
Now, he was asked, who has to adjust the most?
I think the biggest challenge is going to be for the hitters. I really do. This is a different tempo for them. I think the pitchers will make the adjustment. I think the conditioning of the pitchers is going to come into play. I think the bullpen guys are going to have a different look to them. And there's so many yet-to-be-seen things. I mean, something's going to crop up every day. You know, I'm going to try to keep our AA, AAA guys around as long as I can, our manager and coaches, because they've been a great source, because they've lived this. And, you know, we've been peppering them every day, and they've had some great ideas about things they did. You know, everybody's going to be trying to get a competitive advantage, but I know the league office is going to be very, strong about trying to make sure everybody plays within the rules.
All right, so after a weekend of these new rules, Jeff Passan said that MLB cautiously optimistic.
I think Major League Baseball hopes that it is not opening up a Pandora's box here, that there are significant unintended consequences, and that it goes a lot like it did in the minor leagues, where it was tested out fully last year and was a rousing success. But I've spent the last week and a half here in Phoenix talking with players, with managers, with executives. And while they're not skeptical, they are thinking, you know, it's going to take some time to adjust. But that's what spring training is for. And the hope is that by opening day, there are going to be far fewer penalties levied against pitchers and against hitters, remember, both of whom with the pitch clock can be penalized for either not being in the batter's box with 8 seconds left or not throwing the ball with the clock hitting zero.
Now, Tim Kirchen is a rare Kirchen. Dissenting voice. He was on ESPN Radio. Here's what Timmy said.
This might be a terrible analogy, but this would be like the NBA taking the three-point shot and putting it in, making adjustments to the lane, like no zone defense or whatever you want to do, and changing the time on the shot clock from 24 seconds to, say, 18 seconds, and doing it all in the same year. That would be an enormous adjustment, and that's what baseball is facing.
And I think baseball had to do it, though. I hear what Tim is saying, but baseball is broken to an extent. And they need these drastic changes. You can't just take your time with this. They have continued to break the game with the analytics and the way, you know, they reward the home run and swing and misses, and they want velocity. And the ball being put in play every 4 minutes, that's not good. That's not good. So they had to do it all at once, like ripping off the Band-Aid. I'm fine with them doing it all at once. Just get it done. Let spring training in April be the time where it's the laboratory, and then they'll get used to it. They'll be fine. I think it's great for the game. I really do. I think it's great.
Where he's off in his analogy about the NBA making the changes, yes, they'd be jarring. But has anybody ever seen an NBA training camp? What are they, probably like 5 preseason games? It's very quick. NHL the same way. Baseball, like football, has these elongated camps, a lot of exhibition games, split squad games. They're going to have more than enough time. What, 5 weeks, right, Michael, of being able to make the adjustment and get ready for this. There's going to be plenty of games, plenty of opportunities. It had to be done. Had to be done. And piecemealing it isn't going to work. Because once we're over the hump here, it's going to be smooth sailing. I think we're going to look at the by the end of the season, most of these things are not even going to be an issue. We're going to make adjustments to it, and we're going to look back and go, boy, the game is in a much better place.
I got some great news today, too, Don.
What's that?
So when I do the London game, Cardinals and Cubs, with Alex Rodriguez.
Sure.
Tim Kirchen will be the reporter on the game. The great Tim Kirchen.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, now you're talking about a Hall of Famer.
Right.
That's a Hall of Famer, Don.
With two people that may eventually be in the Hall of Fame themselves.
Kirchen. Well, no. I'm not going to be. I can't speak to Alex, but I'm not.
Alex is going to get in.
Did
I don't remember doing
it. Did you see the picture
that?
Of Alex owns half of the Timberwolves?
Yes. Sure does.
So he was there last night in San Francisco for the Timberwolves Golden State game. Golden State won. And he was sitting next to Barry Bonds. That's over 1,300 home runs sitting there.
Wow, that's crazy.
And Bonds drove him to the game.
They're like become real friendly, huh?
I guess.
Was that since the interview?
I think K-Rod brings everybody together, Peter.
I've always felt that way.
I mean,
really
look at Jeter. Jeter goes on K-Rod. Now he and Alex are working together on Fox. K-Rod is like the UN of baseball. You got me?
Now you can't get Derek Jeter to stop talking now.
Yeah, he's at the opening of a Grand Union tonight in Passaic.
Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah.
That'd be something.
Yeah,
over on Paulson Avenue.
He went from Howard Hughes, a recluse, mm-hmm, to this.
It's so weird.
It is. There's a story there I have to know. I want to work with him. Yes.
I mean.
Well, don't you think he belongs on Yankee broadcast?
Oh, I would love it. I would love it.
TV.
Don, there's something I don't want to. I can't say it.
What?
No, say it. There's nothing such thing as can't say it.
Is it? I'm going to say it delicately, though. Can I say it delicately?
I don't know what you're going to say, so to all give right, you permission.
All right, all right. Is it I want to be the cream filling of a Kirchen sandwich.
Oh, my God.
Is that what you want to say?
No. I miss Andrew. Is it possible that there, you know how Don feels about guys who play golf?
Yeah.
I'll leave.
No.
Wow. No, but you know what? It's. I don't necessarily agree. It's a bold statement.
Derek plays golf, too. I didn't say I agree. I don't, Don, I'm not saying I agree with that. I'm just saying that he's very busy these days. Very busy.
You know who else is busy? Don.
Oh, yeah.
Because he has a Daily Don coming up.
Can't wait.
I can't wait. Last one was outstanding.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey, everybody, it's me. I'm back. And guess what? It's another Don segment.
We're doing the list, Michael. I don't care if you don't like it.
The Daily Don.
I'll fight to the death for this list.
It's the Daily Don Show. He makes lists.
Take it away, Donnie.
All right, here we go. Time for the Daily Don, driven by Nissan. Figure it'd be topical since Patrick Kane is about to become a Ranger.
Oh, I like the sound of this already.
Top five American-born players in the history of the NHL.
Oh, my.
Oh, that is good. All right.
Very subjective, but it's my list.
I'm just afraid I don't know if I can help you.
Who are you taking out?
Well, we didn't start yet.
Pick them. You know players that were born in these United States.
Well, we have to start with the great Mike Gartner, of course.
No.
Do you think about him?
No, I don't.
How about Brett Hull?
Here's the issue with Brett Hull.
Oh, if you don't have Brett Hull.
And by the way, Mike Gartner is Canadian. I just wanted to double check. So nice job. Here's the thing with Brett Hull. Brett Hull was born in Canada. Now he was raised in the United States and became a U.S. citizen to compete for Team USA. But that was just the circumstances of his dad playing in Chicago
and all that.
So to me, he's technically because he's eligible to play for Team USA, but he wasn't born in the United States and his dad was Canadian. So I do not count. They do count Brett Hull. I don't.
Well, it's your list. Not you have the right.
But it's
do I get another try? Do I get another try?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's Peter's turn. Well, he loses because of Mike Gartner.
Thank you.
How about Brian Leetch?
Brian Leetch, Michael, in my opinion, my humble opinion, is number one.
Wow.
Brian Leetch, born in Corpus Christi, Texas, although he was raised in the Massachusetts area, two Norris trophies, a Calder trophy for Rookie of the Year, won the Conn Smythe when the Rangers won the Cup in 94. Brian Leetch, greatest American-born player, great defenseman. I've got him number one.
God, I'm like,
I think he's just got more hardware than another defenseman that I have at two.
Let's just be safe here and throw out Patrick Kane for this list.
You know what? That's a good job, Peter. There's no shame in that.
No,
I've got Patrick Kane at number three. He's won three cups. He's won a Hart Trophy for MVP. Conn Smythe in 2013. He won Rookie of the Year. Still putting together tremendous numbers, over 1,200 points in his career, over 400 goals. I've got Patrick Kane at number three.
Well, my next guest will be somebody that Steve Levy calls Chelly. How about Chelios?
Chris Chelios, bit of a compiler, but I have him at two. Now, here's the reason I have Leetch over Chelios. Chelios won one more Norris Trophy than Leetch did, all right? And his longevity is unbelievable. But doesn't have any hardware over that. He's got the Hall of Fame and he's got the three Stanley Cups. But as much as Chelios had the stamina and the longevity, I'm still going to go with Leetch at one. But I've got Chris Chelios at two.
Now, here's one that we can't forget, Michael, because there's a drop. All right? How about Mr. Mike Modano?
Mike Modano I have sliding in at number four,
Mike
also
Modano
in the Hall of Fame.
Twitter.
Also a cup. Most points by an American-born player. Even though Hull's got more, I don't count them. So I've got Modano at number one. as far as points are concerned, and I slide him in at number 4. Mike Modano does follow me on Twitter.
You know who it is, Michael.
His father-in-law is Joe Micheletti, by the way.
If you don't have this next player on this list, the list is worthless.
Yeah, I bet
it's
I know.
It's not validated.
Okay. Michael, hint. Michael, question. Is it a name that you might think is not American?
No. Oh. No, it's not.
Okay.
Ooh.
The name is Rick DiPietro.
Don, does the real answer have something in common with Rick DiPietro?
Does the real answer have something in common with Rick DiPietro? Not that I'm aware of.
Oh, I've got another.
Not
guess.
A shared team.
How about?
Oh, okay.
New York flavor.
Yes, very much. Matter of fact, this individual that you're talking about played on 3 different teams and never had to change his driver's license.
I say good old PLF.
Yeah, that's what I was suggesting.
Pat LaFontaine.
LaFontaine. I do not have him.
What?
On the top. Oh! And the reason for it, the concussions cost him because he would have definitely been on this list. But
wow.
I went a little bit of a controversy at number 5. More goals. 3 Stanley Cups. I could understand people flipping out, especially Islander fans. And you know I love Islander fans, but I went with this. Not only American-born, Michael, but grew up in Hell's Kitchen.
Grew up in Hell's Kitchen?
Yeah.
You have a name. I don't know if he grew up in Hell's Kitchen. Jeremy Roenick?
Got him on the outside as well.
He's just looking in.
I love Jeremy. As you know, read his book.
How about Joey Mullen? I think he grew up in Hell's Kitchen.
Hell's Kitchen. I put Joey Mullen at number 5. Also in the Hall of Fame.
How'd you get that?
3 Stanley Cups, 2 Lady Bings, over 500 goals, over 1,000 points. He and his brother Brian grew up right in Manhattan, made it to the NHL, and I've got him at number 5. He was one of my favorite players. I'm sure one of yours, too. I think you remember him with Pittsburgh, don't you? What's your name, Peter?
Yeah, that's right.
Any idea? Do you remember him at all?
Do I remember Mullen?
Yeah.
Of course I do.
Okay.
And his brother.
To make sure. Brian, his brother, participated. We got our 5, Peter. You can throw out more if you like, but let me just say Brian Leetch 1, Chris Chelios 2, Patrick Kane 3, Mike Modano 4, Joey Mullen 5. LaFontaine, to me, just came up short just because of the concussions and the injuries just really caused him. Otherwise, I think he would be there. Roenick, thought about Roenick. Thought about Phil Housley, who was more of a compiler to me when you look at the ton of points. A lot of good American-born players, but that's my top 5.
I mean, listen, Mullen was a big part of my childhood. Loved him. I wouldn't have put him. I didn't think you'd do it, but
I did it. You know what? And that's where I'm probably going to get most of my heat for this, but I'm going to go Joey Mullen at 5. So
wow, look at you, Doug.
I just wonder how you're one of the great teammates of all time. How do you not have DiPietro in there? How do you look at him tomorrow?
Because it's not a fraudulent list.
Well, who are you taking out?
The guy was a number one pick. Number one pick in the draft. An American. Sure. A true American.
Brian Lawton was the number one pick in the draft, too. He's not on the list. And it's okay for you to say who.
And Michael, you're not serious, though.
Right? I'm very serious.
Wait, you think he's
on the top of every list?
Oh, tell us.
Best-looking American hockey player.
Well, best-looking American hockey player.
Oh, that's not what the question was. All the most of the – Chelios is kind of a weird handsome.
He's no DiPietro. By the way, I don't know if you guys realize it, but Guns N' Roses –
there you go.
Headed to MetLife Stadium on August 15th. ESPN New York has your chance to score tickets all week with the aforementioned DiPietro and Rothenberg, and this show, the Michael K. Show – all from Live Nation. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.